introduction to Perek Chelek today. We're hopefully going to finish the introduction to the introduction. The Rambam has discussed the Yimot HaMashiach and said that we don't spend our time hoping for a Mashiach in order to have a lot of worldly good, but rather the prophets and the Hasidim wanted the days of Mashiach, because then the tzaddikim will gather and have the ability to unite, and they'll have a just king who is very wise, and he himself is close to his creator, and they'll have the ability to maintain, to keep the Torah of Moshe without worry, without fear, without oppression, just as the prophet promised us would be. And the prophet said, "Vasiotit lev even mitzachem," I'll remove the heart of stone, and that's alluding to the fact that everyone will be able to attain greater heights in understanding their creator. And through that, they'll be able to attain Olam Haba. And therefore, the one who understood what's really going to be, the one who understood the truth, and that is the one who quoted us on Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, he began and said, "Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek la'olam haba." He begins with the purpose. What's the ultimate? At the end, what are we? Where's it all going to? Olam haba. So he begins the Mishnah. This chapter in Sanhedrin begins, all of Israel have a portion in the world to come. They have a chelek. And that's why the Rambam began with this introduction, what is Olam haba? And now the Rambam says, our Tana began with that, all of Israel have a portion in the world to come. And now that we understand everything that the Rambam introduced, a person who wants to serve his Creator out of love is not going to serve for the sake of getting the world to come. He's not serving for the sake of getting the prize. Ela yavod al haderech shaveil. But the way he serves his Creator is the way the Rambam will explain. Behu shem kvar heimin sheyesh mada shegia lanvim meit Hashem hodiyam lo shanalot en kach vekach lamigot kach vekach. If he's already attained the level that he believes, he has emunah that the prophets were told by God that the spiritual height and the proper ways of behaving are such and such, and when a person is lacking, so that the following behaviors are lacking. The second one has attained that he accepts the fact that God revealed to the prophets what's good behavior and what's bad behavior, so then logic would dictate that he should aspire to attain the good behavior. Yeah? Seems obvious. Why is the Rambam attributing the positive traits to the prophet? So, if today we could understand that very well. One of the leading movements in philosophy is the claim that, I don't remember what this train of thought is called, what this class of thinkers are called, but they stress, and they've brought what they call mathematical proof, that you cannot connect between what is good and what is bad and what is true and what is not. Today you think it's good to help someone. Today you think it's good to have everyone free and equal. Generations ago they felt what was good was to have slaves. What was good was to have inequality in society. In 100 years they might think that something else is good. Something that changes. And the Rambam is saying that once a person realizes that the prophets revealed to us from God what is really considered spiritually heightened, what is good and what is bad, what is lacking, so then logic dictates that if he is an honest and straight person, he will try to come close to attaining these heights, and he will try to distance himself from the things that cause a person to be lacking. Now, I want to tell you that this is at the root, this is truly at the root of being a good person. When people try to be a good person without it, so very often they have a very difficult time. It's possible you have a lot of people who are not Jewish, who don't believe, who are good people, But for the masses, most people, if you don't believe that, if you don't have this understanding that this is what God taught us, then it's very easy to cop out. And today our urges are minimal. You want a piece of cake, you want a drink, you want it's minimal. Tomorrow it gets stronger. And when in different scenarios, a person has different temptations, and all of them revolve around what do I want, and all of them can contradict of what is really good. And sometimes it is things that society will, everyone will admit it's not good, but you never know what situation you're in, what situation you're put. Two people are traveling in the desert, they have a flask of water, there's only enough for one of them. What do you do? The person doesn't want to be put in that situation, but all of philosophy can stand on the side. What does a person do when he's in that situation? And what's really good to do in that situation? Person, God forbid, let's take a different case. A person, no one should encounter this. Person finds out his wife is expecting and the child has certain birth defects. Is it right to abort? Well, isn't aborting doing what Hitler said to do? Take all those people in society that have blemishes and kill them. So why is this any different? Does this fetus have a right to life or not? Maybe he's better off not living. Well, why don't you say that after he's alive? People have a very easy time fooling themselves into thinking that what they're doing is good, because for them it's very convenient. And the only way a person can really remain straight and remain in a path that's good is if he has a path. If there is no path, if we leave it all up in the air, so then we could land many places. And in the difficult times in life, that's when it's difficult to recognize what is true and what is not. So the Rambam says, the second a person recognizes that we do have God-given guidelines as to what is good and what is not, so an honest person is going to try to go within those guidelines. And once a person has done that, aspire to remain within the guidelines of what's good, so then he has joined humanity, and now after he does that, you could say that he is separated, he is different from the animals. So long as he's just chasing after the worldly things, so what's the difference between him and an animal? The only difference is what physical pleasure they're running after. But animals also they'll smell out where the nearest food is and they'll go after it. מכיוון שנעשה אדם שלם, הרי ממעלת האדם שלא יעצבנו מעקש תתקיים נפשו בקיום ומושכלה, וזהו העולם דק כמו שביאמר. And once a person reaches the level that he is whole, so then he should, one of the things that he should attain is that nothing should prevent him from maintaining that wholeness, which isn't so simple. Almost always when we attain a certain level, there are things that try to pull us down, and very often we're unaware of them, and we're not even looking out to get rid of them. The Rambam says part of being a whole person is that a person removes the things that will pull him down. That's what the prophet says: don't be like a horse, like a mule that doesn't understand. Person shouldn't be like the animals, that the only thing that keeps them in line is something external. They have a harness on them, they have the reins on them. A person shouldn't be this way. But the thing that should hold the person in check is his own nefesh, meaning a person's, the fact, I'm a human being, I have to behave like a human being. What does it mean to behave like a human being? So it means I can't be a cannibal, it means I can't behave like an animal, it means I have to have certain feelings for other people, certain care for other people. There are things that I have to do as a human being. And the Rambam says it's very easy for a person to say, I'm doing this because if I don't, I'm going to get punished. I'm doing this because I want to get the yummy, the goodies in the world to come. So I once, a guy once came to me, this was when I was much, much younger, started talking to me about Judaism. So he comes to me and he says, You know, you seem like a religious guy. We're sitting here in yeshiva together. This wasn't here in Israel. This was in the United States. Says, you seem like a religious guy. How come your tzitzis are in doubt? So I said, how come yours are? How come my tzitzit are in my pants? I don't wear my tzitzit out. So I said, how come yours are? So he said, because it says so in the Mishnah Berurah. So I said, okay. So he said, you didn't answer me. I said, that's true. He says, I want to understand how you work. Said, I'm willing to have a conversation with you, but you might walk away so confused you'll regret we had this conversation. So you decide. I recommend we don't do it. So the guy says, No, I want to understand. So we start talking, and then as we talk, he asks me, do you have complete faith in anything? I said, try to believe in God. I said, do you have complete faith in anything? So he said, yeah, my mind. I said, okay, so you worship something external. You're coming to me, like, I have to be more pious, but that's what you believe in, your mind? He says, I have to think about it. And then we continue talking, and then we reach the point where he says, do you believe there's going to be a world to come? Do you believe there's going to be punishment? So I said, do you believe it? So he said, of course I believe it. That's why I do everything I do. So I said, so you mean to tell me that really you're serving yourself, not serving God? Why are you doing things? Because if you don't do it, things will be bad for you. If you do it, you'll get good. What's the focus? You. You're not serving God, you're serving yourself. At which point the guy said, we can't have a conversation anymore. You're confusing me. I'm walked away. Well, he had a lot of issues with me. So for some people, it's the only way they know how to work. If they have something external, they feel like there's a whip over them. And most of us are that way to an extent. Half the reason we don't run a red light is because we think that we'll get a ticket. Otherwise, when we come to red light at some point, you don't see any cars going, you're in a rush, maybe you would go. A person shouldn't go. But in most of the stages in a person's life, the things that hold a person in check are fear of the external. Half of how we behave is because we're scared what other people are going to think. Do we brush our teeth in the morning because it's really good, or because if I speak to my roommate and I didn't, then I'll get a nasty comment? Do I comb my hair in the morning because that's what I should do, or because what are people going to think if I don't? And there are hundreds of examples. I'm purposely leading it to the more mundane ones, because the spiritual ones, so everyone knows those. The Rambam is saying a person is supposed to work towards being on a level where he's doing it because that's what his nefesh dictates, not because of external forces. Yeah?
I think if I understand on a conceptual level, you don't serve God for a lot of God, because then you're just serving for your own reward and lack of punishment, so you're just serving for yourself even. But at the same time, couldn't you say that if Olam Haba is closest to God, in whatever exactly that means, then by serving for Olam Haba, you're serving to get closeness to God, and so you're, in the end, then you're serving for God. I mean, at the same time,
I think that if that is the way a person perceives it, then yeah. But even in that, you understand there are two ways of doing it. The Navi, the prophet in Isaiah, describes a time when people will say to one another, don't come close to me. I'm holier than thou. You can't. Don't touch my things. Me? I'm so holy. Unfortunately, to an extent, today we see that. My wife and I are contemplating where to send our kids. Are we going to send them to Haredi school, or are we going to send them to Dati Lumi school? So we both know what we want. So we want the kids to be servants of God, to be God-fearing people, to be good people. And now the question is, which school is going to give them more of that? So you research it, and suddenly you see that each school, you can't tell them that you're considering the other one, because you don't think that we're the best. We're the best at Pilumi school. You have a thought to go somewhere else, you tell the other school, You're considering the Tilu Misko, you're considering them, but we're the best. It's like an affront. How could you consider someone else? So I keep thinking back to the prophet in Isaiah. By the same token, even though a person can say, I'm working Hashem for Olam Haba, especially what, there are many levels of working for Olam Haba. There are many levels at which a person can say, is it really because I understand and perceive and I want to get close to God, so fine, that's one level. Or is it because of many other externals? The Rambam told us that even a rabbi, when he's learning, it's normal that he's learning because he wants to be a higher rabbi, that people look up to him. So he's already attained the level that he's a rabbi. And yet the Rambam says, yeah, but to say that he has the pureness of heart, that he's serving God for the sake of serving God, more likely than not, that it's because he wants to be called a bigger rabbi. So it's a sad thing to say, but the Rambam said it. He didn't say it openly, but he definitely seemed to allude to it. So that's what I'm saying. It's a little complicated to say that that it's really for that sake, even though, yeah, that's a positive thing. אם הייתה שלמה הייתי מנהנו ממה שימנע ממנו את השלמות והן הניקות נגרעות. Now, if the person's nefesh is whole, so it in and of itself will protect him from things that bring him down. ותזוזנו על משהו הוא נעשה בו שלם והם המעלות. It will keep him going towards the things that will help him be a whole person. זהו מה שנתברר עושים כל דברים בעניין הזה הנשגב שהוא הרת סכנות. Now, the Rambam basically says, I've ended my introduction explaining what is Olam Haba. And the Rambam says, this is what makes sense to me out of everything Chazal said, putting it all together. And I want you to know the Rambam ends, this whole subject is Harat Sakanot. It's pregnant with danger. Meaning it's loaded with dangers. You start thinking about different points and you err, so... Very great. Just like we learned last night, the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. Last night, the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, the important man of Socha taught his students, don't serve God for the sake of reward. And many of the students went off. He had two students that went off, and they took other students with them. They said, what? Must be there's no world to come. What's the purpose in all our work? God has nothing in store for us. We're just toiling for nothing. And that led to the involvement of the Sadducees, a whole cult within the Jewish people. So this whole subject that we learned is a difficult one. And the Rambam's understanding is just that, the Rambam's understanding, not to belittle the Rambam. But at the end of the day, the Rambam himself is saying, this is what I figured out from all our sages taught us. He doesn't say, this is what I have on tradition. You'll notice that Rashi says very often, this is what I have on tradition. The Rambam in his halachic works on many things will say, this is what I have on tradition. On this, the Rambam didn't say that. On this, the Rambam said, this is what makes sense to me from everything that our sages taught us regarding these topics. ואני עתיד לחבר חיבור, מה?
I wonder if you might say that because I think I read somewhere that like it was something about why the Chazal like had so many experiences with what Olam Haba and redemption. I was like, that the answer was because they didn't have a tradition from it, and all they had was they read the prophets, and the prophets, as they said, they had in the same as the Chazal themselves a lot of things that I'm so I suppose that might maybe be wrong on saying he doesn't have a tradition because the people he was learning from didn't have a tradition.
Possibly. Here we have to be careful about certain things yes, but certain things no. Notice that you can't couple all the topics together. I was thinking today maybe to bring, there's a brisa that we have describing how Rabbi Eliezer asked the sages what can be in Tchiyat HaMeitim. And it seems like they had a very clear tradition. Mm-hmm. Everything he asked them, are people going to come back clothed or are they not going to come back clothed? Will they come with their relatives or without their relatives? Mm-hmm. All the questions he asked them, they had answers for. And they didn't start hemming and hawing. They had answers on the spot. You see, he asked, they answered.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't couple everything together and say we have no tradition on Olam Haba and Tchiyat HaMeitim and Gan Eden. Because the Gemara does seem to define what Gan Eden is and what Tchiyat HaMeitim is. But Olam Haba, it seems like we don't know. Even the prophets didn't know. And that's what the Rambam enumerated. The Gemara that says Olam Haba, no one knows what's going to be there. We can attain this concept that it is heightened spiritual growth. There is something where a person's neshama, spiritually, a person attains the closeness that he would want to his creator, or part of it at least, part of the closeness. But a clear picture of Olam Haba seems like no one has. but that's specifically about Olam Haba. ואני עתיד לחבר חיבור סוף בו כל הדרשות נמצאות בתמוז זהותו והבערים להסביריהם הסבר מתאים לאמת. I hope the Rambam says to make a compilation or work specifically about this topic where I'll gather together all the sources in the Talmud and other rabbinic sources and explain them in a truthful fashion. ואבי ראיות לכל זה מדבריהם, and I'll prove everything I said from what our sages said. ואגלה מה מהם כפשטו, and I'll reveal which of our sages' statements with regard to Olam Haba, etc., is to be understood literally. Umam em mashal, and which of their statements are allegories? Umam em eruah v'chalom, v'zkiru b'lshon pashut ke'ilu ira ba'akis. And some of them are really things that they happen in a dream, and our sages described it as though it's happening in real life. Uvotach ibur aver lecha emunot rabot, and in that compilation I hope to explain many points in philosophy. B'sham aver kol adorim asher aveti lecha mehem v'dvarai ele dugmaot me'atot k'deish takish alehem. And over there I'll expand on all the things that I said in short over here. ואין להקפיד על מה שיש בדבריי מה מאי הזהירות בקצת מילים מעניינים שמקדים להם אנשי החוכמה, לפי שאני לא הקפדתי בחשבון אלו כדי להבין למי שלא קדם לו הרגל בשום דבר מעניין נשגה, וזה אשר לא כל אדם משיגו. The Rambam says, and don't worry if I wasn't as clear as I should be in this, what I said in Tomel, because I didn't write what I wrote in Tomel for the layman. I wrote it for people who already have some understanding in all of these concepts. So obviously when we approach the Rambam, we're all approaching as laymen, so what do we know? And now the Rambam is going to begin with explaining the words apikores, etc., and that's what we're going to pick up next week. I want to take a few minutes in preparation for the funeral, so we're going to pause over here.